Well, that's why I go back to my philosophy. Everybody gets, you know, equal treatment in my court. And if the trustee's not prepared and if the trustee, you know, doesn't put on the right evidence, the trustee's going to get overruled and it's going to lose every time. And at some point, they should get the message that they're not doing their job properly.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to add on to that, which is, you know, I think in some respects, it's kind of like, you know, when all of us appeared in court on a regular basis, you really have to be very protective of your, you know, your integrity and maintaining to the judge that, I mean, you're playing straight with the judge and all that. And, you know, the same thing applies to the trustees, almost even more so, because the trustees are showing up all the time. And if they're not really being fair for whatever reasons, or, you know, they're not really looking at the case in a rational way, at some point that's going to kind of come back and bite them, I would think. So, I mean, to your point, in a sort of a weird way, they probably are indirectly held to a little bit of a higher standard just because they're there more often.
And I often say to all of the litigants who appear before me, if you don't think the trustee is doing their job or they're doing their job the wrong way, tell me, because I can fix it. But if you don't say anything, I don't know.
A little bit different perspective. So before I took the bench, many, I think, of you know, I was an assistant United States attorney. I was in court every week. I represented a variety of government agencies, but primarily the IRS. And a lot of times people conflated. In fact, I was an attorney for the IRS. To some of the comments have been raised, I kind of viewed it a little bit differently, and I analogize it to being a trustee. Because of that frequency in which I appeared in front of the court, I accepted the burden that I had to have maintain a high level of credibility and preparedness because I was representing the interests of the United States, and my job was to be impartial, to represent my client zealously, but still make sure that justice was rendered. And I sort of expect some of that from the trustees, but just to, as a final thought, to Jeff's point, sometimes I think there's a perception, well, the judge is favoring a trustee because the judge just likes the trustee better. And I don't think that's a lot of times it's just simply because you go into the case, the trustee lays out everything that's like on an objection to plan, and I look at the debtor's counsel, and it's like he's never heard or she's never heard this before. And so there's just a disparity in preparedness, and it just doesn't help your case.
Now maybe I can throw in a little bit different perspective.
Yes, sir.
I know a lot of it has to do with the relationship the debtor's counsel has with Chapter 13 trustees,
sure,
and seven trustees, especially in court. And so they don't, they're hesitant to cross that line and, you know, tick off the trustee and then, you know, have that bad, that good relationship ruined. And I know that's a delicate balance, and I see that, and I get that. But at some point, you know, you have to do your job as debtor's counsel. You have to represent your client and not be afraid to raise these issues with the court. And you're going to find that, you know, at least in my court, I don't know about the other judges, but I'm sure it's going to be very similar. Everybody's going to get fair treatment. I mean, if there's a problem, it's an administrative problem, you should bring it to the court's attention. Something could be resolved pretty quickly in the hearing. But if we don't know about it, like Jeff's saying, then there's nothing we can do about it. And so it's really up to debtor's counsel to find out where that line is, and your client comes first. And
I've never gotten any impression that any of the trustees mind you being a zealot advocate for your client and litigating.
Not.
I don't think they ever hold that against anyone who basically is a good lawyer and does their job.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
I agree. This may seem, just to kind of give an insight a little bit maybe into your personality or background, one of the things I'm always curious about, we talk about, you know, what you did as a lawyer. We all forget, you know, we had an undergraduate degree, maybe we were in business, whatever it is, but just to kind of personalize y'all a little bit, why don't you tell us something about yourself that you did previously that you enjoyed that doesn't involve your legal career being a judge? Jeff?
I've always liked to run. In my early 40s, I ran several marathons. I've stopped doing that. The joints won't take it anymore, but now I'm a big push for Orange Theory. Anybody do Orange Theory? I do Orange Theory 4 to 5 times a week. I really enjoy it, and hopefully it's going to keep me living a long time and sitting in the chair a long time.
You might want to tell us what that is, just briefly.
Orange Theory is, it's like a resistance, I mean, it's repetitive training. So basically it's exercise where you go and work out for an hour and you run on a treadmill and you do a rower and you lift weights. And it's, they're all over Houston. They're, I think they're all over Austin too in Dallas. I like it a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Lee? I don't do that.
Lee?
So I've been running for a couple of years, so I like that. But I'm going to say music. Music has always been a big deal for me. I had actually this will be a great little tidbit that you can file away because it's actually kind of interesting. When I was in high school, I started a garage band, literally in my garage, with several folks. And the guitarist who was with the band, we got pretty good, and we got to play at different places and, you know, apartment complexes and stuff. And the guitarist is now one of the three guitarists with Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Wow.
So anyway, music has always been a big part of my life.
Nothing much about me. I'm kind of boring, but I'm fitness fanatic, health fanatic. I do cheat, like I had those chocolate brownies today. They're really good. And really, I think my love and passion, along with my wife Lisa's, is, you know, spending time in South Padre Island. It's just peace and tranquility out there. There's nothing like it.